This is Lewis Rogers, and welcome to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, real estate investment trusts, or REITs. What is a real estate investment trust, or a REIT? It's simply a corporation that either owns or finances income-producing real estate. REITs allow you to invest in a portfolio of real estate the same way you invest in other industries, through the purchase of individual company stock or through a mutual fund or exchange-traded fund. The stockholders of a REIT earn a dividend. The dividend is a share of the net income generated from the REIT's real estate. Pretty simple. REITs are required to distribute 90% of their taxable income to qualify for tax benefits, making REITs an excellent choice for income. The best part, stockholders share in the REIT's earnings without having to buy, manage, or finance real estate. You can own a piece of the rock. Approximately 145 million American households invest directly or indirectly in REITs, and they do this via their 401ks, IRAs, pension plans, and other investment funds. Many REITs trade on national stock exchanges. Others are sold in private placements. For example, Capital Square's apartment REIT is being sold in a private placement, same as Capital Square's Delaware Statutory Trust, or DST 1031 exchange offerings, and Opportunity Zone funds. In fact, most securities offerings are sold in private placement offerings exempt from registration with the SEC. More on that in a moment. REITs own a whopping $3.5 trillion. That's trillion dollars in assets across the nation, and that represents more than 500,000 properties. U.S. listed REITs have an equity market capitalization of more than $1.35 trillion. So we're talking about quite a large industry. Why invest in REITs, you might ask? Well, you'll hear more about the many benefits, but here's the bottom line. REIT investments provide numerous potential benefits for investors. Stable income, diversification, capital appreciation, and inflation protection. REITs own $3.5 trillion in assets across the U.S., and they invest in a wide range of real estate asset classes and property types, including our favorite apartments, multifamily investments, such as Capital Square's apartment REITs. We also like industrial properties and medical facilities. REITs also invest in retail properties, hotels, data centers, cell towers, and more. REITs buy the best real estate in the nation, typically investment-grade real estate, and REITs have top-tier professional management. The goal? Maximize stockholder value. That means positioning REIT properties to attract tenants and earn maximum rental income to increase cash flow and total returns. Over the past 20 years, REITs total returns have been strong. REITs returns have exceeded the S&P 500 and other major indices, as well as the rate of inflation. Most REITs focus on a particular asset class or property type, and some have geographic focus. For example, Capital Square's apartment REIT invests in multifamily properties, and it does so in Virginia, through the Southeast, and Texas. REITs have a simple business model. REITs lease space and collect rent. That's how they generate income from the real estate. The net income is then paid out to stockholders in the form of dividends. REITs must pay out 90% of their taxable income to stockholders, and many pay out nearly 100%. In turn, stockholders pay the income tax on those dividends. And this is why REITs are income-producing vehicles. The REIT has to pay out most of its earnings in dividends. Most REITs are so-called equity REITs that invest in income-producing real estate. Also, less well-known are MREITs, or mortgage REITs. They don't own real estate directly. Instead, they finance real estate and earn income from the interest paid on their loans. Why should our audience care about REITs? Because they provide everyday Americans with the opportunity to invest in real estate. Over 145 million households invest in REITs. Little history on REITs. REITs were established by Congress in 1960 to give all investors, especially small investors, access to income-producing real estate. Before the 1960 REIT legislation, only large institutions, really large ones, Wall Street, banks, hedge funds, and wealthy individuals had meaningful access to investment-grade real estate investments. Thank you, President Eisenhower, for making high-quality real estate investments accessible to everyday Americans. The REIT legislation has been refined over the years with a laser focus, and that is to permit all Americans the opportunity to enjoy the benefits of investing in real estate. What is required to qualify as a REIT? There are many requirements. To qualify, a company must first invest in real estate, derive at least 75% of its gross income from real estate, rents, or interest on mortgages financing real estate, if it's an MREIT, pay at least 90% of its taxable income in stockholder dividends, be an entity that is taxable as a corporation, be managed by a board of directors or trustees, have a minimum of 100 shareholders, and have no less than 5% of its shares held by five or fewer individuals. That's a lot of requirements, but there are a lot of benefits. What are the benefits? And this is the key. First, returns. REITs generate reliable and growing dividends, high yield, plus long-term capital appreciation through increases in stock prices or asset values. So returns, what's the bottom line? Dividends plus appreciation result in attractive total returns for more than 45 years when compared to the broader stock market, bonds, or other assets. So that's returns. Next, diversification. REITs have a low correlation with traded stocks and bonds. That means they're an excellent portfolio diversifier. At Capital Square, we're very big on diversification. If you've heard earlier episodes of the show, you've heard about our goal is to help investors diversify, and REITs do that. Diversification helps to reduce overall portfolio risk and increase returns. We have returns, we have diversification, and then we have simple tax treatment. Investors receive Form 1099 DIV. Simple tax reporting, especially when compared to direct real estate investments or the hated K-1s for a partnership investment. A big part of the magic, one level of tax. Most large corporations are subject to two levels of tax. What do I mean? I mean the corporation pays an income tax on corporate profits, and the stockholders have their own income tax to pay on dividends, and that's very costly. Most real estate is owned in partnership structures, typically limited liability companies or LLCs in modern times, with one level of tax at the partner level and no tax at the entity partnership level. REIT taxation essentially produces one level of tax at the stockholder level. And REIT dividends are tax favored, and they range from ordinary income dividends, favorable capital gain dividends, and return of capital with no taxation whatsoever. The key is classification of the REIT's income that generated the dividend. Ordinary income dividends, that's money made by the REIT from rent or mortgage payments, if it's an MREIT. Capital gain dividends, that's money made from selling property for taxable gain, and that's at lower capital gains rates. And then my favorite, return of capital dividends with no current taxation. This occurs when investors receive a return of capital and there's no current taxation. How does this take place? Real estate owners have an allowance for wear and tear and obsolescence called depreciation. Depreciation produces a tax deduction. By using depreciation deductions and other means, a portion of REIT distributions qualify as return of capital. And voila, no tax on the distribution. In these ways, REIT dividends are tax favored. Some are taxable at favorable capital gains rates. Others are not taxed currently at all. Favorable taxation is another reason to invest in REITs. But now, what are the types of REITs? First, the most common, equity REITs. Most REITs operate as equity REITs, providing investors access to diverse portfolios of income-producing assets they would not be able to afford on their own. These real estate companies own properties leased to tenants in a range of real estate sectors, such as apartment complexes, medical and industrial properties, and more. They distribute the bulk of their income to stockholders in the form of dividends. We talked about that, the 90% REIT distribution requirement. MREITs or mortgage REITs provide financing for income-producing real estate by purchasing or originating mortgages and earning income from the interest on these investments. There's some other nuances. There are public non-traded REITs. They're registered with the SEC, but they do not trade on a national stock exchange. They're called NT REITs. And then there are private REITs. Let's drill down a little. This is Securities Law 101. Apologize, I'm a lawyer by training. But Securities Law 101, all securities offerings must be registered with the SEC or exempt from registration. That's the starting point. SEC registration is costly and time-consuming, and it's not practical for the vast majority of securities offerings. Hence, most securities offerings are exempt, typically under what we call Regulation D, governing so-called private placements. Capital Square is the issuer of approximately 100 offerings, all private placements, that are exempt from registration with the SEC under Regulation D. This is true for Capital Square's apartment REIT and also for the DST programs and Opportunity Zone funds, all using private placements that are exempt from registration. There are restrictions on private placements. Typically, investors must qualify as an accredited investor by satisfying certain income or net worth requirements. Private REITs have a number of potential advantages: reduced volatility because they don't trade on the market, higher yield in many cases, and capital appreciation on a future listing or merger. Also, REITs work well in retirement accounts, so-called qualified accounts, because there is no UBTI, apologize for all the jargon, no unrelated business taxable income on REIT dividends. Now let's drill down a little bit into taxable REIT subsidiaries. REITs have numerous restrictions to keep them from competing with taxable enterprises on an unfair basis. REITs are to operate otherwise impermissible businesses via a REIT subsidiary called a taxable REIT subsidiary, or TRS. In this way, REITs can conduct otherwise impermissible business, but on a fully taxable basis. Many REITs have a TRS to conduct development business or other activities that are not permitted by a REIT. Now let's talk about UPREITs or OP transactions. And I have to say, we're really getting into the weeds now. Many REITs have an operating partnership that is used to hold real estate assets. The OP structure, as we call it, provides a number of additional opportunities. First, tax opportunities. Section 721 of the Internal Revenue Code permits property owners to contribute real estate to an operating partnership and take back OP or operating partnership units in exchange for the real estate. The exchange of property for OP units is similar to Section 1031 in terms of the result. Typically, there's no tax to the contributing property owner or to the operating partnership that received the property. Now, here's a little digression. I hate to go down a rabbit hole, but it's important. You may recall from earlier episodes of the Real Estate Show that the Biden tax outline from last summer would have modified Section 1031 governing tax-deferred real estate exchanges. This would have been highly detrimental to the real estate industry and the nation. The real estate industry demonstrated to Congress that Section 1031 creates a large number of jobs and substantial tax revenue for the Treasury. And I am thrilled to say that Section 1031 is not in any tax bill presently being considered by Congress. That is a great relief to thousands of property owners across the nation. Last year, Capitol Square created an emergency safety valve in case Congress eliminated or modified Section 1031. And 1031 could be at risk again next year. So what did we do? Capitol Square adopted an operating partnership or OP structure in Capitol Square Apartment REIT. Why? If Section 1031 were to be adversely impacted by Congress in the future, we would structure OP transactions as a workaround for investors in Capitol Square's DST program. Let me explain, and it's a little bit complicated, but here we go. DST investors seek tax deferral under Section 1031 instead of selling their real estate on a taxable basis. And you've heard this in prior episodes of the show. An OP transaction can accomplish the same result as Section 1031 and has other positive attributes for investors. How would that work? Let's say the time has come for Capitol Square to sell a DST property. The DST property is owned by a number of Section 1031 exchange investors, the beneficial owners of the DST, who acquired the property as their replacement property to defer the taxes that would be due on a taxable sale. Most DST investors will continue the tax deferral when the time comes to sell. We call it swap till you drop. I know it's corny. My colleague Rick Chess laughs whenever I say swap till you drop, but that's what it is. Exchange investors structure future sales as 1031 exchanges. In this way, serial exchangers build family wealth over the decade. What is a serial exchanger? Again, if my colleague Rick Chess were here, he'd get a good laugh. It's not a taxpayer who eats Cheerios. That's a little tax joke. A serial exchanger is an owner of real estate who structures exchange after exchange after exchange, not selling on a taxable basis, but structuring exchanges each time their investment property is ripe for sale. Why? Because the tax is deferred under Section 1031, and their equity and the tax that's being deferred goes back into the next replacement property, growing family wealth. Let's take an example. Our hypothetical taxpayer owns a duplex held for rent. The time has come to sell. What would they do? Instead of paying the federal and state taxes, and again, it's federal and state taxes, and investing, the net, that is net after tax, the investor exchanges 100% of their net sales proceeds into property number two and holds property number two for investment. The deferred tax is reinvested in property number two. The exchanger's equity is increasing from exchange to exchange. Their family's building wealth over the years and decades because what would have been paid in taxes, federal and state, is being reinvested in replacement property owned by the taxpayer. And the icing on the cake, but you have to die to get it. On death, the exchanger's heirs will receive a step up in tax basis. This means the heirs can sell the 1031 replacement property for the market price without taxation. This should sound familiar from early episodes of the Real Estate Show when we discussed Section 1031. So, Section 1031 provides tax deferral but not exclusion. The taxable gain is deferred. How long? Until the replacement property is sold in a taxable transaction. But exchangers have the ability to structure future exchanges over and over and over again, so the replacement properties are never sold in a taxable transaction. They are exchanged on a tax-deferred basis over and over again. Capitol Square has investors who have structured many, many exchanges going on decades. This is a very common strategy, especially in California, where the state income tax is very high. By carefully structuring 1031 exchanges, you can defer what would be taxable gain over years and decades and convert this deferral into exclusion from taxation upon death. This is one of the greatest tax structures available today, but you have to die to get it. Assume that the DST's property meets the apartment REIT's investment parameters. Now we're back to the REIT. Assume the property meets the apartment REIT's parameters and is approved for acquisition by apartment REIT's independent directors. Next, the apartment community would be appraised and apartment REIT would have the ability to buy the property for the full appraised fair market value. Each DST investor who owns the property would have options when it comes to their share of the sales proceeds. Let's say the hypothetical investor is due $500,000 from the sale of the DST property. Under current law, most investors will structure another Section 1031 exchange and continue the tax deferral under Section 1031. I know it's corny. We call it swap till you drop. Each sale of a property is structured as a Section 1031 exchange, continuing the tax deferral over the years and decades. Upon the death of the taxpayer, his or her heirs will receive a step up in tax basis, converting the tax deferral into exclusion, but there may be an estate tax for the ultra wealthy. If Section 1031 had been modified, or if it's modified in the future, the 1031 option would be gone. But we could use the OP structure as a workaround. The investor could still take OP units in apartment REIT, typically without generating any taxable income, and continue to own real estate via the OP. So now you can see how OP transactions operate as a nice backup to Section 1031 in case Section 1031 is adversely modified in the future. Got it? Back to REITs. In conclusion, REITs have been around since 1960. They provide numerous potential benefits to investors: stable income, diversification, capital appreciation, and inflation protection. For these reasons, REIT stock has become an important part of a diversified stock portfolio. Now let's take a moment and talk about apartment REIT. Capital Square Apartment REIT, as an example. Capital Square recently launched a $150 million offering for apartment REIT. The goal is to generate stable returns and growth by purchasing Class A and B apartments in Virginia through the Southeast and Texas. Apartment REIT recently purchased its first property in Midlothian, Virginia, a newly constructed Class A apartment community in a vibrant submarket. Midlothian is growing rapidly and has very strong demographics. Rents in the community are increasing at a rapid pace and occupancy is strong. Based on rent comparables, the property should be worth more today than when Apartment REIT purchased it. The property generates stable cash flow and is growing as rents in the community increase. Now let's apply the attributes of REITs to Apartment REIT. First, stable income. Apartment REIT is designed to generate a stable dividend with growth and capital appreciation. The REIT is currently paying a 5.55% dividend. For those of you with cash sitting in a money market account earning less than 1%, this may be a good option for you. Also, early investors are able to buy a $10 REIT share for $9. This is a special incentive for the first $25 million raised. For those of you with cash sitting around earning almost nothing, apartment REIT may be a good option for you. That's stable income. Diversification. Apartment REIT is a non-traded REIT. It is not correlated with the markets for traded stocks and bonds. That makes apartment REIT an excellent way to diversify a traded portfolio of stocks and bonds. Diversification is an important method of reducing portfolio risk and potentially increasing returns. So if you are worried about stock market volatility, apartment REIT might be a good fit for you. Capital appreciation. Apartment REIT is focusing on multifamily acquisitions with the potential for capital appreciation. Demographer Ken Gronbach was on an earlier show to talk about the impact of various age cohorts on the demand for apartments. He was very bullish on apartments. The highly respected demographer concluded that demand will continue to grow for apartments as the millennials take their place at home and out of the basement, and Gen Zers prepare for the marketplace, and millions of us aging baby boomers choose apartment living. This bodes well for apartment assets. We believe apartment assets will continue to appreciate over time. Inflation protection. Inflation is all over the news these days. Economist Peter Linneman, PhD, is Capital Square's economic advisor. You may have heard him on the Real Estate Show discussing the economy. Dr. Linneman says we are living in the golden age of multifamily investing. That's his quote, the golden age of multifamily investing. His research demonstrates that multifamily assets provide the best hedge against inflation of any asset class. So if you're worried about inflation, apartment REIT may be a good solution for you. Dr. Linneman's research shows that multifamily assets are both stable and resilient. And there is no 10-year period in Dr. Linneman's research when investors lost money in multifamily investments. So if you are worried about downside and want to hedge against the stock market, apartment REIT may be a good fit for you. And what has Capital Square experienced over the past 18 months through this pandemic? Well, in spite of the pandemic, we have averaged approximately 99% rent collection in what's now 10,000 apartment communities from Virginia across the Southeast to Texas. Yes, that's 99% rent collection and very high occupancy. And several investment programs have been taken full cycle when their properties have been sold, many for record prices. This year has been off the chart for real estate investing in spite of the pandemic. Our experience proves that multifamily assets are both stable and resilient. And that's what Dr. Linneman told us. The apartment communities have been stress tested, and I mean stress tested, by this pandemic. And they have performed extremely well, even during a global pandemic. Occupancy remains strong, rents continue to increase, and approximately 99% of scheduled rent has been collected. That is outstanding. This is Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Thank you for joining today's episode of The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. It has been a record year at Capital Square for Section 1031 tax-deferred exchanges, the DST program, Opportunity Zone funds, and the apartment REIT. The firm has acquired over $1 billion of real estate for investment, headed towards $2 billion before year end. For more information about Capital Square, contact me at lrogers@capitalsquare1031 or 877-626-1031. Please join me, Lewis Rogers, same time next week when we discuss cutting-edge real estate topics of interest locally and nationally. Invest locally. Invest nationally. Invest with Capital Square on a tax-advantaged basis. Living in the sweet Virginia
breeze. Sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.
Tax advantage refers to any type of investment that is either exempt from taxation, tax deferred, or that offers other types of tax benefits. Capital Square is a national sponsor of investment opportunities that can provide such benefits via our 1031 exchange and opportunity zone offerings, among others. Linneman Associates LLC is a consulting and research firm specializing in commercial real estate investment strategy and was compensated by Capital Square Realty Advisors LLC for preparation of the Linneman Report. Securities offered through Wealthforge Securities LLC, the managing broker-dealer for the Capital Square Apartment REIT Incorporated, offering and member FINRA, SIPC, Capital Square, and Wealthforge are not affiliated. Consider the risks. An investment in the interests involves substantial investment and tax risks, including without limitation the following risks. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. The economic success of the interests will depend upon the results of operations of the property. Fluctuation in vacancy rates, rent schedules, and operation expenses can adversely affect operating results or render the sale or refinancing of the property difficult or unattractive. The master's tenant's capitalization is supported solely by the cash flow from the underlying tenant lease. The sponsor is not under any obligation to contribute capital to the master tenant. No assurance can be given that future cash flow will be sufficient to make the debt service payments on any borrowed funds and also cover capital expenditures or operating expenses. No assurance can be given that beneficial owners of interest will realize a substantial return, if any, on their investment or that they will not lose their entire investment in the trust. There are various risks associated with owning, financing, operating, and leasing commercial properties in Virginia. The interests do not represent a diversified investment. Beneficial owners must completely rely on the master tenant to collect the rent and operate, manage, lease, and maintain the property. The beneficial owners have no voting rights with respect to the management or operations of the trust or in connection with the sale of the property. There are various conflicts of interest among the trust, the sponsor, the signatory trustee, and their affiliates. The interests are illiquid. There are tax risks associated with an investment in the interests. There are risks related to competition from properties similar to and near the property. There may be environmental risks related to the property. Private placements are speculative. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. These risks include, but are not limited to, the following. No public market currently exists for our shares, and we have no current plans to list our shares on a national securities exchange. We have no operating history, nor do we currently own any properties. This is a best efforts offering, and some or all of our shares may not be sold. We have not yet identified any properties to acquire with the proceeds of this offering. We established the offering prices of our shares, including the early investor discounts, arbitrarily. These prices are unrelated to the book or net value of our assets or to the expected operating income. There is a dilutive effect to investors who purchase our shares after the termination of any of our early investor discounts. We do not intend to conduct a net asset valuation or provide an estimated NAV per share. We may return a portion of your capital if our advisor is unable to quickly identify suitable properties or if such properties do not generate sufficient cash to make anticipated distributions. If we raise substantially less than the maximum offering, we may not be able to invest in a diversified portfolio of properties and your investment will be more susceptible to fluctuations in the values of specific properties. We have no employees and are dependent upon our advisor, property manager, and their affiliates. Our officers, directors, and the officers and employees of our advisor and its affiliates may have substantial conflicts of interest because they also serve similar programs sponsored by our sponsor. We will pay substantial fees and expenses to our advisor and its affiliates, our dealer dealer manager and our participating dealers, which may increase the risk that you will not earn a profit on your investment. The income from any of our properties will be dependent on the ability of our property manager to successfully manage such properties. Our rental revenues will be significantly influenced by the conditions of the market in which we operate and by demand for multifamily housing properties generally. If we do not qualify as a REIT, we will be treated as a corporation for federal income tax purposes. Our advisor may face conflicts of interest relating to the purchase of properties, and such conflicts may not be resolved in our favor, which would adversely affect our investment opportunities. We may incur substantial debt, which could hinder our ability to pay distributions to our stockholders or could decrease the value of your investment.